Blog Talk Radio. Hello? Hello?
All right, peace and blessings. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Vernon Muhammad. It is such a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. It's a wonderful Sunday afternoon, evening. I hope that it is fine where you are as well. We got another good one in store. I've got a good friend of mine, an old, long-term friend, Mr. Peter Jones. You are on the line with us, right?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
All right. I hear you fine, man. We heard you all through the theme music and everything. You know, it's okay. It's your first time on
All
radio.
right.
You're a little bit
Cool,
nervous.
cool,
All right,
cool.
bro. We got you. All right. So, yes, welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show. I put the word out there that this episode we're going to have two guests. One, a good sister, is going to be joining us a little later. But the theme for this show is leaving the plantation, the afterlife. We're going to be talking with entrepreneurs who are working entirely for themselves and actually making a living at what they love doing and are good at. We'll hear from Peter Jones of Blessed Hands Rehabilitative Services. I'll give you a chance to tell us what that's all about a little later, Pete. And we're also going to hear later on from Sister Adila Muhammad of Adila's Catering, which is down in, she's based out of Atlanta, but of course, you know, we're dealing with people who operate nationwide, so she'll tell you a little bit more about her operation as well. But while I have a few moments, I'm going to call you Chris, all right? I've been calling you Chris for all this long, so it's Peter Jones. He's online with us, but I'm going to call him Chris. So if you hear me say Chris, just understand this is exactly who I'm dealing with. How are you feeling today, my brother?
Yes, sir. I'm doing real well, brother. I'm doing real well. And just for those that don't know, obviously, Chris, that's my middle name, and my closest friends call me by that name. So, of course, my brother can call me Chris. And I'm formally known as Peter, though. That's my first name. But just don't call me late for dinner, brother.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
Yes,
Yeah,
sir.
that's right. And when you're Christopher, that means you're in trouble. Something's wrong, right, Christopher?
Yes, sir. Yes,
All
sir.
right. Well, hey, this is your first time on the No Romance Without Finance show. And what we try to do, of course, you know, you listen to that name, No Romance Without Finance, and people think it's a relationship show and, you know, all of that stuff. But just like the name implies, we're not going to deal with that stuff until we deal with finance, economics, business. We got to get down to business first, because until we get the foundation straight, we really can't get to the stuff that we all want to enjoy. So, No Romance Without Finance show is a talk show that's dedicated to economics, entrepreneurship, and education. And why I asked you to come tonight is to share some of your experiences of going from being an employee, which so many of us are so familiar with, to doing what a lot of the listeners to this show know and use the lingo of. You know, we got to do for self. We can't be, you know, employed or enslaved to other people forever. You can't let somebody else control your destiny in terms of how much money you're going to make and what
Right.
your financial future is going to be. So share some of your insight. Tell a little bit of your story, first of all. You know, tell us who you are, where you come from, and how you made that transition from being an employee to being in business for yourself.
Okay, so just a little bit about myself, a little background. I am a Howard University alumnus, HU. I graduated in 1994, so I'm kind of an old head, but it's all good. I'm originally from New York City, and you know, I've been down in the MD DC VA area for, you know, quite some time now, about close to 20 years, if not 20, if I'm not mistaken. And me and the host go way back, as he stated. You know, we first met in undergraduate studies at Howard. And ever since then, man, it's just been one thing after another. It's been a roller coaster ride, but it's been great. Now, what I do currently, I'm an occupational therapist. Basically, I work alongside other rehabilitative professionals to restore health to, you know, the elderly population mainly, but the adult population in general. And so, you know, that's what I went to school for, and that's my trade. That's what I'm applying I basically was I graduated as an occupational therapist from Howard again back in 1998. So I've been practicing, you know, quite some time. And, you know, just to let you know, I mean, what OT is all about, because I got to give a plug to my profession. Basically, we help people to relearn life skills, physical rehabilitation, cognitive rehabilitation, psychosocial rehabilitation after an injury or some type of illness or, you know, maybe a congenital deformity, you know, from birth and all. And it, we basically have people become independent again if they were independent, or enhance their functional status to the point where perhaps they can become independent once again. So that's basically what I do.
So now, you know, Chris, one thing that you just said, sorry to slow you down, but one thing you just said, and I want to make sure that it doesn't get glossed over, what you're talking about, not necessarily one thing, but what you're talking about is specialized knowledge. And I think that's critical. Because, you know, I have conversations all the time with people who want to do for self, want to get started with something. But,
right.
You know, they either jump into a pool that everybody else is in or they just don't know where to start. But a good place to start probably is to specialize in something. It's got to be something of value that you offer to people. Would that be
right.
correct?
Oh, yes. Okay,
all right.
Definitely. Especially these days. Especially these days. I mean, as you know, what's going on in the world and with the economy and all, you know, I mean, it's best to have a skilled, to be in a skilled profession, you know, to have a skill, some type of learned, skill, you know, because
right.
you can't just get by with a high school diploma anymore. That was back in the 70s and perhaps a little bit of the 80s. Now, I mean, you've got to, I mean, now even with a bachelor's, you know, it's very difficult. People with masters in certain fields, it's very difficult for them to get work. So, yes, I would definitely agree that a skilled trade is ideal. It's an ideal starting place to then go forward with your plan, you know, whether it be, you know, a small business or a large business or whatever your plan is. You know, it's a good place
okay.
to start.
All right, all right. So tell us a little bit about the whole 9 to 5 years. You know, when you had to get up and punch the clock for somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I graduated. The second time I graduated was 1998. At that point, I you know went into the hospital system, and you know just learned my trade. And you know at that point, you know I was just happy to be working. You know, when you're first out of school. You know, you just want to go ahead and start making some decent money. You got bills to pay, you got loans to pay, and to pay back. And, you know, you want to make a life for yourself and one day, you know, grow a family and all. And so, you know, you're kind of looking forward and you're looking up and looking upward. And you know, so there I was back in 1999 starting out in the hospital system. And basically I was a W-2, meaning, you know, I worked for an employer and basically went from place to place. I stayed at the hospital system for a little while in D.C., Providence Hospital in D.C., for a little while, and then I kind of just moved on, matriculated, learned more of my trade at different places, different nursing facilities and outpatient, facilities and all that. Even did home health for a little while. And until I was confident enough or comfortable enough with my knowledge base that I could now work just about anywhere. Now, my specialty, like I said before, is adult population and the elderly. So, you know, I don't know everything, but I feel comfortable in what I do know, that I'd be able to kind of learn quickly whatever I didn't know to kind of apply that. Now, just to get back to working for somebody else, the 9-to-5 deal, I mean, like I said, at first I didn't really feel anything, you know. It's just like you're learning and you're just applying your trade. But after a while, it just becomes kind of monotonous. For me, it became like, okay, this is the same thing over and over again. I'm pretty much beholden to whoever I'm working for. I don't really have the flexibility in my schedule that they say they do, although, you know, occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech therapists, we do tend to have a more flexible schedule than other professionals because there's such a need. And, again, that goes back to the skilled comments earlier, you know. There's such a need for these type of professionals, you know. But still, if you're working for someone, as I was, you know, there's only some certain parameters that you can kind of go to and through, you know, basically I kind of met all those parameters in terms of my working experience. So once I kept going from place to place to place, I started saying, well, what else is out there? What else can I do to kind of fortify my income, be a little bit more independent, and not really, you know, answer to anyone really, not because I didn't want a boss or anything, but because I just wanted to be more financially capable. You know, I wanted to be more financially free. I started, instead of going from just a W-2 to W-2, I went from a W-2 to becoming a contractor, which is a 1099. And not to get all technical, but basically, you know, you work for someone and then they pay you, and then you have to deal with your tax situation. So I went from becoming an employee and then matriculating to a 1099, which is working for somebody else still. But, you know, you make a little bit more money up front, but you still have to pay on the back end. And you're still beholden to
that. That's what I wanted to ask right there. You know, that sounds like a transition. You know, you made, you started working for yourself, but technically what was there any difference other than the fact that, okay, well, now you're responsible for the financial end of the arrangement? You know, when you're an employee, right, they take care of all of the Social Security taxes, this, that, and the other, but.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about that point for me.
Okay, so then there are certain differences, yes. I mean, once you become an independent contractor, I mean, basically, like I said, you have to be aware of all your, you know, all the things that are supposed to be coming out of the money that you're getting. Now, there's a difference between an independent contractor who works for, you know, an agency and what I've become, which I would liken it to being an entrepreneur, where I've formulated my own company, you know, instead of working for one that's already pre-existing, I formulated my own company, and I'm actually working for myself. I'm an employee of one right now, you know, workforce of one right now, but, you know, that's pretty much where I'm at. And, you know, it took a little while for me to get there because, you know, it was kind of some bumps along the way or whatever in terms of learning, you know, how to do this. And, you know, it was kind of a little bit of a arduous process. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I would definitely do it all over again, you know. And just to kind of add, I mean, I was thinking about it today as I was kind of walking my dog. I was thinking, I said, wow, you know, employees, pretty much they want people to take care of them. You know, whereas employed or, you know, people that are, you know, have their own businesses, they take care of themselves as well as other people. You know, and that I pretty much thought about that. I was like, wow. I mean, it's kind of like an aha moment, you know. I'm not trying to have anybody take care of me, but God, of course. But at the same time, you know, if I'm going to be self-employed, if I'm going to be a business owner, I have to know that there are people that are going to be under me. There are going to be people that are going to be in my employ that I have to take care of as well as myself, you see? So there's a difference. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think that's a big difference right there. Mm-hmm.
Now that sounds like you're talking about mindset, and that's really critical because when I talk to people, you know, who either want to do it or people who have done it, that is one point that they all focus on and go to. Either because they're avoiding it, you know, they're avoiding the tough stuff, you know, they haven't conquered the fear or haven't, you know, put themselves up to the mental challenge of learning, like you say, all of the things that now you're responsible for as opposed to what the employer or somebody else is responsible for. Or, you know, on the actual entrepreneur side, they put the focus on the fact that that is so critical in terms of getting over the hump, you know, whether it's fear, whether it's just something you don't know and have to learn, whatever it is, you know, that part of the game right there is really the turning point. How did you make the transition? You know, what was going through your mind as you were still in that employee status and, you know, you really decided that, okay, now is the time, I need to go ahead and make this move? What was the thought process that carried you over that gap?
It was a journey, to be honest with you, Vernon. It was, the journey. It was something where it wasn't like I was an employee one day and I woke up the next day and I was like, ah, now I'm going to be self-employed. No overnight anything, you know. And part of it is, you know, of course, personality, thought process, you know, and all that. But, you know, a lot of it was just, like you said, you'd mentioned fear. And I'm going to say, yes, mm-hmm. there was a fear there, the fear of the unknown. I was like, okay, gosh, if I do this, then, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. What if people don't hire me? Or what if I can't make it, or if I fail or whatever, or they don't like the business or whatever. And then there was more fear, like, okay, you know, taxes, this, that, and the other. Am I taking out enough taxes? Am I doing everything right? Whatever. Well, I can tell you my journey was bumpy, and it continues to. It's not perfect. Now, you mentioned in the beginning the name of my business is Blessed Hands Rehabilitation Services. But what I didn't tell you, Vernon, is that I recently became incorporated, and I had to change the name. I had to change everything because the way Blessed Hands was being run, it was being run as a sole proprietorship, but it wasn't. It really wasn't garnering me the kind of financial success that I needed. I needed something else that was going to be more, comprehensive. I was an LLC, not right. to get technical now, and I was a sole proprietor, which just means I was a person with their own business, just one person, you know, just everything on one tax form, 1040, whatever. Now it's incorporated. I'm a corporation. So now I'm actually working for my PF, but I'm beholden to the corporation that I'm working for, even though it's my corporation. So someone who doesn't know this, someone who is actually trying to get into this, it may seem like it's very confusing, and it may seem like it's like, okay, well, it's the same thing, but it really isn't. And I had to learn the hard way, you know, really, because I was like, I was doing things as a sole proprietor that really, you know, I should have really kind of thought about it a little bit more, thought it through a little bit more, and if I had had more information from the get-go, from the beginning, I would have, you know, made the decision to become incorporated from the get-go. Now, I started Blessed Hands back in 2006, 2007. I just became incorporated under the new business, the new name, which I'll give you in a moment, back in March of this year. So it took me, 2007, so it took me about, what was that, 6 years to kind of go through my ups and downs and learning that this was not the right business structure for me, that I had to, you know, really, if I wanted to expand and be more financially capable and successful and all that, I had to incorporate and I had to actually include other folks underneath that umbrella. And I could not do that. I could not do that as a sole proprietor. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, certain businesses, you know, you can run as a sole proprietorship and you can have employees or whatever. But for my particular case, yeah, it's a case-by-case basis. My particular case, I needed to be incorporated. I needed to, you know, to be, you know, a little bit more comprehensive in my forecast for the business. And so,
now two questions. Can I? Mm-hmm. One quick question. You said that you needed to bring other people under the umbrella. What? Mm-hmm. Who were the people that you needed? You mean that you needed help, or you just had to,
right.
you know? Make sure that other people were covered too.
All of it, all that, all of the above. One that I needed help.
Okay.
Number one, I needed help. Here's what
okay.
I would say to all the folks that are trying to go into business for themselves. No man is an island. Just remember that, because like you hear these sayings and everything, and you know from when you're small, and you're like, oh yeah, no man's an island, or you know whatever, and you don't really think about the underlying meaning of that. You know, you can't, you know, a business, a successful business is not run by one person, even though it would seem that way. You know, for example, Oprah doesn't run her business by herself. As you know what I'm saying? There's absolutely no way she could do that, you know. And, you know, thinking, you know, that I could run my business by myself and wasn't really thinking about anybody else, you know, it was, you know, I ran into a lot of obstacles, a lot of question marks, a lot of things that I avoided and didn't understand or whatever, you know, because I didn't have the right, I was just relying on my own, you know, self, my own knowledge, which was limited at that time, and it's still growing. Now I've learned that you need a team of people. You need, you know, someone like an accountant. You need, you know, someone like, you know, a PR person. You need these folks, depending on what kind of business you have. You need these folks to be in place, even if it's like, hey, if it's your cousin who happens to be an accountant or whatever at first, because you can't afford it, a CPA on the outside or whatever. You need folks that know what they're doing, that have their little niche, that know what they're doing, that can help you, that catch the vision, and that can help you grow your business. You know what I'm saying? And they have to have a buy-in too. They team up. Obviously, they're helping you, yes, because maybe they know you or they whatever, and they have some type of relationship with you. But you know, there must be some type of buy-in. What do they get out of it? You know what I mean?
It's not just give me the hookup and you'll do this for me and that's that.
Right.
You gotta. It has to count. That's a relationship that's actually got to go somewhere.
Exactly. I mean, and you got to be willing to shell out a little bit. I mean, you got to be willing to pay a little bit more for better help. For example, I didn't have an accountant when I first started back in 2006, 2007. I didn't. I figured, hey, you know, I'm okay at math. I got an A. You got a B at math. You know, so, you know, I should just
I'm okay at math.
You know what I'm saying? I'm okay. I can add 2 + 2, but it's more than that. You need an accountant that can tell you, okay, this is what your tax situation will be if you do not do this, A, B, C, D. These are the forms that you need to fill out beforehand if you do, you know, if you want to be, you know, successful. I mean, these are the things that need to be in place in order for your business to kind of thrive. You see what I'm saying? And to even have a chance. You know what I'm saying? And if you try to do it all on your own, or you're your own accountant, you're your own PR person, you're your own, you know, whatever, you know, marketing person, whatever, you know, it's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be frustrating. You're going to want to give up. You're going to give up because you're thinking, hey, I'm wasting a whole lot of time here. I need to be putting money into my retirement. I need to, you know, and I'm putting money into this thing. You're going to be discouraged, you know. So the first thing I would definitely tell people is to definitely identify some folks around you. Because, you know, inevitably, you're going to know someone or someone that knows someone that has the skills that you need, you know, skill set that you need in order to help you to kind of get through and start your business and run a successful business, you know what I'm saying, small business. So that's what I've learned, one. You're also going to need people that are going to, again, proliferate your business. For example, my business is rehabilitation, you know, but I can't just do it by myself. I'm going to need another therapist or another, you know, two therapists or a nurse or somebody like that with their own different skill sets that is going to then kind of buy into what I'm marketing, what I'm selling them, you know, which is, hey, you can work for Morningstar, which is the name of the business. You can work for us and, you know, and get a little extra money on the side, you know, in addition to what your regular 9-to-5 is, you know what I'm saying? That's how we're trying to market this whole thing. And just not to get too deep, but that's pretty much what you want. You want people that, you know, that are gonna help you achieve the vision for your business, you know. And I'm learning that as we go along.
One thing I'm hearing you say, you're dropping jewels and nuggets that people can really utilize, and I'm trying to stop and make sure they don't get glossed over. I'm hearing you say you have to make sure that you know, set yourself up and put yourself in position so that you can grow and you can progress and whatnot. But in order to grow, in order to progress, you got to make a way for others to also grow and progress.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be what you're going to get out of it. Number one, you got to realize that in order to make some, you got to give some. But in order to get the help you need, you also have to make a way for others to get what they need.
Exactly right. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it really is. And I know, I mean, not to sound, you know, a certain way, but it really is all about cooperative economics. It really is. It's about helping other folks, not just, oh, helping yourself and let that be it. You know what I mean? It's about helping other folks. And once you help other folks, You can then get that help from other from these folks, and you can, you know, build your business. You can really just go ahead and restore, or, you know, build up on top of your business with these folks that you're trying to get help from, and with these folks that you're helping.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the way it should be, because if you're all about yourself. then you're only going to get but so far. You know what I mean? If you are people-focused, if you are community-focused, you know, and you're, you know, and of course, not everybody is going to be a healthcare professional. Not everybody is going to be, you know, a doctor or a lawyer, whatever it is. But if you are people-focused, then inevitably, you know, that's going to come back to you. People are going to talk about your business and say, hey, this person really helped us out here. You know, he really pays us well, or he gives us good feedback about our work or whatever it is, you know. And, you know, that eventually will come back around to, you know, more people being attracted to your business. You see what I'm saying?
Got you.
So I'm kind of jumbling it up a little bit because I'm trying to kind of think about a best way of saying this whole thing so people can kind of digest it. But basically it's about other folks. It's not just about you and your business. It's about other folks. It's about helping other folks.
You know, Chris, back in the day, I used to play Cash Flow. I still play Cash Flow. I've done some of the shows where I was playing Cash Flow. But Robert Kiyosaki wrote a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Of course, a lot of people know about that. But then he wrote a second book called The Cash Flow Quadrant, where he talked about, you know, you drew like a big plus sign in each one of the four corners, you know, each one of the four quadrants. He had a different type of income earner. He had employees. Then he had below that on the left side, he had employees. Below that, he had the self-employed. On the top right side, he had a business owner. And on the bottom right side, he had the I for investor. You know, he said, you know, you'll start out and you'll progress through each one of those phases until you reach, you know, the pinnacle, which is the investor, the one who just puts their money to work for them. The employer, as you know, does all the work. And is compensated for their time. Hopefully they're compensated well enough. The self-employed person is basically the crux and the centerpiece of the business. If you don't work, you don't eat, but it's your thing, your operation, but it's all centered on you. Then you get to the point where you're talking about an actual business, which is systems, so that you can remove you as an individual from it, and the system works and still pays you. And then, of course, you have the investor where, you know, you didn't build the system. It's just the system that works. You put your money into the system, and your money works for you. How would you approach, and what's your thought on your business and how much your business is dependent on you now? And are you thinking in terms of how to eventually grow so that you can step away from it and it still works and does what it's supposed to do?
Oh, man, That's a real comprehensive question. The short answer is yes. Yes. Right now, where I would put the business, and just to kind of take a couple steps back, it's funny how you mentioned the word systems, because the new name for the business is now Morningstar Health Systems Incorporated. And
hold up, man, you like holding back. You holding back. First, you drop a little seed, then you say Morningstar. Okay, give it all front.
I'm going to give it to you, man. I'll give you the patient services.
What's the actual name?
I'm going to give you the full Monty now, the actual name of the business now. Because, like, we just got incorporated, so I'm allowed to say it now. And the new name just came through. It's Morningstar Health Systems Incorporated. Morningstar Health System Incorporated. And what I envisioned with that name is a business that is going to last past my lifetime, you know, going into the future, you know, a legacy basically, you know. With Blessed Hands, it was kind of self-limiting, you know. It was kind of, to me, it was self-limiting. The full name of that was Blessed Hands Rehabilitation and Home Healthcare Services. That was very self-limiting, you know. It was just like, okay, you got the blessed part, okay, so then people are saying, okay, this person is religious, and then you got the rehabilitation service, okay, so is it just rehab you guys do, and then you have home health, is it just home? So it's kind of like a kind of a mishmash, and it was very self-limiting. But with Morningstar Health Systems, I mean, if you look at that, anything can fit under that. You know, nursing can fit under that. You know, rehabilitation can fit under that, you know, anything, you know, home health care can fit under that, personal health care aid, you know, GNAs and CNAs, they can fit under that. I mean, everybody can fit under that. That's an umbrella term, you see what I'm saying, rather than a self-limiting term. You see, and so that was the vision for that whole thing. Where I am now in terms of achieving, or according to that model that you just talked about, you know, currently, yes, I'm still self-employed, but I'm on that because my mindset is changing. I'm on that track now to set up that system, you know, where I can step away, and then the system now, you know, again, you know, generates that income, you know, for me. So that's I'm in between there, you know, with the name change, with the structure, with the organizational structure change, you know, all of that. I feel like I'm heading in that direction, you know. And like I said, it took me a while to kind of even get it, you know, to kind of get to that point. There was fear. There were other distractions that were going on. You know, I was making all these excuses. I was in school and this, that, and the other. But you know, over the past year or so, I mean, this idea just came. It's like, look, you need to you need to put all the cards on the table, brother. You got to stop sitting on the fence, you know. And either you're a W-2 or you're not. Which one are you going to be? You know, and not to use age as a factor, but you know, you're not 25 anymore either. You know what I'm saying? So you know, there's a time factor going on there. So I'm like, okay, either you stay as a W-2, keep yourself quiet, and just let the dream go. Or you proceed, you know, and let God guide you, and you make wise choices, and you correct your mistakes, you know, readily, you know, as soon as possible, and you move forward. And you just, hey, you still have fear, but you have courage with that fear, so that allows you to move forward. You know, I think of courage. Courage is not action without fear. Courage is action in spite of fear. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so you have to be courageous. You have to be courageous if you're going to do your own business. You have to be. You have to say, hey, look, throw caution to the wind and take calculated risks to do this thing, and say to yourself, how much do I want and where do I want to end up? You know what I mean? And whatever it is, at the end of the day, it's on, and you have to be willing to accept the responsibility, whether your business is a smashing success or whether it's a disappointment. You know, you have to take that responsibility. Once you take that on, you know, yourself, and you stop using the W-2 fail-safe, you know, to go back to whatever, you know what I'm saying? Then that's
that safety net.
Yeah, that safety net. You know, that's when you'll, you know, achieve the type of progress that you want with your small business. You know, so that's pretty
much
where I'm at.
Right.
That's pretty much where I'm at.
Now, here's the last question, last, you know, set of questions I'm going to ask for you right before we take our break. Are you rich?
Am I rich?
Yeah, you know, are you balling? Are you like, you know, people have these misconceptions, you know, I'm trying to blow the rosy stuff away, blow the myths and the fairy tales away, deal with the reality of it, but understand what is possible when you do, when you make the decision to step out there.
Yeah, that's a good question. That is a good question. You know, that's a two-tier question for me. If you're talking about material wealth, material riches and all that, I'm going to say no, I'm not. If you're talking about spiritual riches, I'm going to say yes, I am. And and for me, the spiritual comes before the material. You know, the spiritual basically is a foreshadowing or predicting of the material, you know what I'm saying? So if you're spiritual, this is just me now, this is what I believe, if you're spiritually rich, then you cannot help, you know, if that's where your mindset is, if that's where your focus is, to acquire, you know, material wealth with everything, you know, of course, in its place, then, you know, it's inevitable that, you know, that you'll become, you know, have material wealth. I believe I'm on that track. I believe I am on that track. I'm still a brother who, you know, who believes in the dream, and who's actually plying his trade and actually taking steps, moving forward with my wife and my family to kind of make this thing a reality. And yes, one of the things that I want to become is, yes, sure, I'd love to have material wealth. But that really is not the total focus. But yes, that's part of it. But that's just like kind of like an adjunct. That's what happens after you do the things that you're supposed to do in order to get there. You know, so you know, that's how I want to answer that question. I don't know if that does it.
All right. I get the idea from that answer that you're still making it. You know, there's some people who let the fact that they can't count on a like you say, the W-2, that regular paycheck that they know is going to be there every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't see life outside of sticking their hand out and waiting for somebody to just put a check in it just because they showed up or just because they have their hand out. But the theme of this show, you know, leaving the plantation, the afterlife, you're living proof that, hey, you know, even when I step away from that security net or that comfort zone, what you need is still taken care of. Number one, because as I hear you talking, you're a man of faith. You know and understand that if the birds have what they need, you know, if the fish and the the animals, everything in nature is provided for, you know, I get the impression that you know that you're going to be provided for. All you have to do is step up and step out on faith. That's one. But number two, when you have that skill, when you have something to offer and you go for it, you don't sit down and wait for it to drop out of the sky. You go and you made it happen. You go and you make it happen. That's that's how the equation runs out. If you do what's necessary and you take the right steps, then you will get this result. So I'm assuming that, you know, you keep gas in your tank and, you know, when it's cold outside, the heat still stays on and there's food on the table. Everything that you need is still there and provided for.
So if that's
a point of fear or apprehension for people who are listening, who are on the fence about, you know, taking an entrepreneurial path, you know, you just kind of dispel that myth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, after all, I mean, it's all about, for me, it's all about faith and you know, with anything. I mean, when we get into our cars, we have faith that they're going to start. We have faith that they're going to take us to where we want to go. You know, we don't even think about it, you know, but I mean, hey, you know, I mean, it's the truth. I mean, you have a vehicle, you just know that it's going to work. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So why can't we think the same way about a business that we've been dreaming about? And you know, not thinking that we can really do it, why can't we just put that same type of faith that we have in our vehicles and in things that we can see, why don't we just put the same type of faith in the things that we can't see, the things that are yet to happen? You know, since faith is the substance of things that are unseen. You see what I'm saying? So basically, if you're going to have a small business, if you're going to have any business, you know, at all, any kind of business, you have to have some sort of faith, you know, like a good faith deposit you do. They use it in business all the time, good faith, a good faith deposit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, why not make a good faith deposit into your own business? You know, put a little extra time into that little thing that you've been thinking about for the last 10, 15 years and be consistent with it and persistent with it and see what happens, you know, rather than all these thousands and thousands of people thinking, oh, man, if I had just done this when I was this age or whatever, whatever, whatever. Instead of regretting it, just go ahead and go for it, you know, and at the end of the day, you can say, hey, I tried it and it was okay, or I tried it and it was a smashing success, but at least you tried it, you know, and that's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, hey, who knows what could happen tomorrow? You know, and I still have some certain things that I need to take care of, certain debts, you know, that I have to take care of, you know, and so I'm certainly not, you know, totally financially be stable or whatever it is, but at the same time, there is a certain amount of risk that you have to take if you're going to do, you know, this type of business, I mean, you know, or any type of small business. There's certain type of risks, calculated risks, I call them, that you have to take in order for, you know, things to happen. If you don't take any risks, nothing will happen, you know, and that's just the bottom line. If you don't take any risks, basically it's like waiting for a train that you don't even know what time it's going to come, if a train is going to come at all, but you know the train's going to come some kind of way, but you're not doing anything to you know, kind of, you know, make anything happen, you know. Are you checking the schedule? Are you even in the right, you know, station? Do you even know if the station is even still operational? You know what I'm saying? So you got to really think about what you do. You know what I'm saying? You really got to think about what it is you want to do, you know, why you want to do what you want to do, something that you really, really want to do. You put the energy and the time into it. You ask people about it. Don't be shy. Don't be, you know, all, because the thing is, we tend to try to do everything on our own and we don't want to ask questions or whatever. The worst question that you have is the one that you don't ask. That's it. The worst question that you have is the one that you don't ask. You know what I'm saying? The silliest question that you have is the one that you don't ask. You see what I'm saying?
It is.
You gotta ask questions. You gotta, you know, you just gotta put yourself out there. And I'm afraid a lot of us you know, don't do that. We don't put ourselves out there enough, and so we get what we get. So we'd rather go back to the W-2, the sure thing, which these days really ain't so sure, you know, versus, you know, doing something on your own, and claiming something and making it happen for yourself and your family and other people in your community. So that's pretty much it.
You're absolutely right, man. You said a mouthful. And Chris Jones, man, one thing that we are told in the Nation of Islam, we're told that we would have friendship in all walks of life if we live our life right and we apply the formulas properly. And I will say it right here, say it loud, say it in the public. I'm so thankful and so glad to call you my friend, brother. We've known each other since 1989. That's like 24 years, man.
How long is that, man?
So
24 years?
24, there it is, man. We about to have, what's that, the silver anniversary or something like that coming up soon?
Yes, sir, man.
But,
I'm proud to know you too, brother.
I thank you so much. I thank you so much for what you've been. You've been an inspiration to me for many years, man. I've watched you from afar. I've watched you from close up. And I see that you're doing your thing. I'm proud of you. Keep on doing what you do. If there's any way that I can be of service to you, you know that I surely will. But one more time before we go ahead and take our break and move on with the show. Share with people how they can find out about your business and what the name and all of that good stuff is and where we're located. Don't let them know, you know, all the stuff that anybody who would need you would need to know in order to get you.
Okay. So then the name of the business again is Morningstar Health Systems Incorporated. Okay. And it's, like I said, it's relatively new name change and everything like that. So we're pretty much going through, you know, restructuring of the whole business. What we deal with is staffing, you know, healthcare professionals, occupational therapy, physical therapy, nursing, speech therapy, you know, geriatric nursing assistants, certified nursing assistants, you know, personal care assistants. And we are located in Silver Spring. That's where our home office is. Anybody needs any information,
Silver Spring, Maryland. You aren't in this area.
Yes, sir. Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm sorry. Silver Spring, Maryland, USA. And for anybody who wants to find us on the web, we are currently restructuring our website. So, you know, that's going to be up and running hopefully within the next couple months or so. So, you know, just kind of hang tight. And, you know, that's pretty much it. Now, the number that we used to use on the Blessed Hands is still operational, and that's 888-336-2040. Again, the number is 888-336-2040. And you'll hear the prompts and all that, and it will be Blessed Hands. But know that everything is being restructured. So, you know, I'm glad to take any people that are, you know, that are willing and able to come aboard and see where this starship flies.
All right, good stuff. You're listening to the No Romance Without Finance show. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back on the other side and keep moving forward. You going to stay with us, Chris, or you got to go?
No, I'm going to go, man, but thank you so much for having me on your show, man. It was a great time. You know, great to know you as a friend and great to have you as a friend, man, and anytime you need me to come back on the show, I wouldn't be hesitating to do so, my friend.
All right. God bless. Peace and blessings to you and the family. I will talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. You do the same. God bless you.
Welcome back to the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Vernon Muhammad. You just finished listening to Peter Chris Jones from Morningstar. Morningstar Rehabilitative. I know that's not it, but you can go back and listen to the replay because he said a lot of information. He shared a lot of information that any new or aspiring entrepreneur should take in mind, because we have to go from the hustle mentality, just getting a side hustle thing, on to actually thinking in terms of business. We're told that one of the things that when our ancestors were brought to these shores, their captors and their oppressors wanted to make sure that they never learned was the science of business. That's different from hustling, okay? So I want to thank Chris for sharing his insight, and I hope that it was inspirational and informative for you all who are listening. Because anytime you want to experience growth beyond the plantation, beyond living paycheck to paycheck, beyond being under somebody else's control in terms of your financial well-being and the livelihood for you and your family, you got to think outside the box. So that's what that segment was all about. We now have the privilege and the honor of hearing from one of my good sisters, who is in business for herself. She has started her entrepreneurial endeavor. I actually first heard about it last year, and I participated in a cooperative economics group with this young lady, and I've watched her business and her products and what she offers and how she presents it, and I'm fascinated by it. I'm anxious to hear her story and more about her and what she has to offer. So to my good sister, Adila Muhammad, are you with us on the line?
Yes, I am.
Assalamu alaikum, good sister.
Alaikum salam.
Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show. How are you feeling?
I'm good, a little nervous, but I'm doing fine, thank you.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm working
on
it.
Come on now, you're here with family now, okay? This is just a simple conversation. I know you have something good to share, so I want to make sure that you get the opportunity to share it. Tell people who you are and tell people a little bit about your business.
All right. Well, my name, like you said, is Adila Muhammad. I'm out of Atlanta, Georgia, right? Southern region. And I have a catering service called Adila's Catering, and I also have a product line called Uniquely Adila's. And what I do is basically take what we're prescribed in our daily diet and just make it into something, I don't want to say greater, but a little bit different with a little twist to it, a little more unique with our navy beans. I didn't like beans, so I had to find a way to get the consumption of beans in my diet every day without actually feeling like I'm eating beans. So I've created about a product line of about 8 different types of soups, and I believe 5 of them consist of the navy beans. And basically, I just ship them all over the United States. I have a clientele from California all the way to New York.
All right, so your business is nationwide, huh?
It is. It's nationwide. I'm not able to do international, even though I've had requests for it, because of the shipping costs more than the products do. So it's not really worth it for the believers in Canada and London that have reached out for it. But I'm definitely all over the United States. As well, the product line was only to sustain me until the catering picked up. Now, the catering has picked up, and the product line still is booming, so I'm actually starting to reap the benefits of both now.
That is wonderful. Praise be to Allah for that. I like hearing that. All right, so how did you, when did you get started with this? I'm assuming that, you know, cooking is just something that came naturally to you, right?
It actually... I guess it did come naturally to me. I guess that it's been a passion of mine. I didn't know that I wanted to actually make this, my living. But it used to just be a passion. I've catered almost 10 years ago, 15 years ago in New Jersey to barbershops and hair salons, just trying to, keep the bills paid. And I stopped doing it. It was like a hustle to me. When I got to Georgia, I was like, I went and worked for corporate America for the last 12 years. That's what I was doing, but I hated being on the plantation. I hated working for someone else. And eventually, the whole company, half of the company shut down. I was part of that and have not been able to find work again in the accounting in corporate America. So it was like I was forced to go into business for myself, and I remember sitting here trying to figure out what I'm going to do to be able to pay these bills. And I heard it.
So you say you were forced to go into business for yourself, huh?
I was forced, or we would have starved. We would have starved. And as many talents as I have, this one here brought me the greatest peace, and that's cooking.
Okay.
And we were, I remember I was at the mosque one day listening to a lecture the minister did last year, and he was talking about his mother would never go and ask anyone for a job. She went and created one for herself, and she started making underwear and lingerie for other sisters.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, that's awesome. You know, she said she never went out and worked for anybody. She took care of her family by working for herself. And I was sitting here listening. I was like, well, how can I do this? I have to figure out how can I take care of my family. And I made a particular smoked salmon chowder for a function a year prior, and people always ask me for it, and I never make it. So I just said, let me just see if I make this product, jar it, pressure can it, and bring it out to the mosque on Sunday, if it would sell. And I sold 15 jars in 45 minutes of that product when I brought it out. And it's been on ever since.
So you knew how to recognize the need and the demand and go ahead and fit right in, huh?
You know, I didn't know that there was a need or a demand. People kept asking for it, and I was like, well, let's see if it works. And it did. And, you know, so there was a lot of guiding me directly where I needed to go to try to figure out how to make this thing happen.
All right. So now where is your business headed? What's the vision and the plan that you have in mind? Because everybody starts small. Everybody starts at something that seems insignificant. But where can you go with this?
Well, this year, my plan is to open I wanted to open the restaurant, the big restaurant, of course. I went to Le Cordon Bleu last year and finished, got my culinary arts degree. And right off the bat, I'm thinking I'm going to open a big restaurant and make it happen. And it just didn't happen for me that way. But my plan is this year is to open a coffee cafe. My husband wants like a bookstore, coffee shop. That's been his dream. And I want to do the cafe part. You know, nothing major, just real unique, eclectic sandwiches and offer my specialty soups as well. And just have a real nice, cozy atmosphere.
Got you. Okay.
Yep. So we're working on that
all
now.
Right.
We've actually met with someone who has an open space perfect for that environment. And he hasn't done anything with it. So we're actually going to be meeting with him this week to see if we can do some kind of merger and get ready to launch it.
Awesome. Now, I want to ask you a tough question now, but I got to set this up so that you and people who are listening don't take it wrong, okay? I asked the brother one time, I said, look, if I was going to school to be a brain surgeon, right, I'm trying to become a brain surgeon, but I'm part-time doing it, you know, because there's so many other responsibilities and obligations. So in between all my other tasks, I get a little studying in, or, you know, maybe I skip studying this week and, you know, get to it next week. Maybe I'll catch up. Maybe I won't, whatever the case may be. That's the kind of brain surgeon I'm going to become, right? Obviously, you don't want to have brain surgery from a brain surgeon who was learning that way, right? Now, how do you balance business, your business, okay, what God gave you to work and manifest on earth, how do you balance that with all your other obligations and things that you have to take care of and do and people who are pulling on you and stuff like that?
Well, you know, I'm kind of lucky with this type of endeavor because I don't have to do it every single day. I'm in the kitchen maybe 16 hours a week. That's it. You know, I pressure can all my products so I can make more than enough to get me through a whole week. When I'm shipping out orders, I'm doubling, tripling up on what I have to make so I can pressure can them, put them in storage, and just, you know, go ahead and ship them out when I need to. So I don't have to cook every single day. My business allows me a lot of flexibility. Now, my catering, this is my busy time of the year, so all I work is on the weekends for that. I have a wedding I'm doing this Sunday, so Saturday I will be working all day getting everything together for Sunday. But that's it. I have products that I'm going to be shipping out tomorrow and Tuesday, and I might make another batch of products on Wednesday to get through the rest of the week. So I don't really have to, I don't really work. I don't work hard at all. At all. When I do work, I work
so
hard.
You...
It's back-breaking, but on my days off, I'm done.
All right. So that you've been fortunate in terms of the specialized knowledge that you have. You can do it. You can do it for a minimal amount of time, and it will still produce and, you know, reap you rewards that are sufficient. Is that correct?
Exactly.
All right.
That
is a blessing and a half.
Yes,
that is a blessing and a half. One thing that that I want to highlight that kind of is common between you and the last guest that we had on the show is that piece about the specialized knowledge. I heard you talk about cooking, first of all, you know, which may or may not be so common and something that everybody and anybody can do. But you've achieved a certain level at it, so you know that you're proficient in what you do. And then on top of that, you talked about canning, pressure canning, and things that's an actual part of you packaging your goods. Now, all that, you said, takes you about 16 hours in a week?
Yes, sir.
Now, the rest of the aspects of the business, how much time goes into that? Because I'm sure you got to manage and, you know, do the back office stuff. How much, you know, time does that take?
Well, my accounting right now is not too hard for me to do. I'm just plugging in numbers. It might take me 2 hours a week for that. And my advertisement, I do that daily. I'm sure you see it on Facebook, LinkedIn. I used to do more of the mailing out advertisement and so forth. I kind of cut back a little bit because the catering's picking up so much. But I try to do my advertising daily. But most of my inquiries and most of my customers come from word of mouth. People that call me and say that such and such bought this product, they wanted to try it, or they tasted their friends and they want some. So a lot of my customers is word of mouth. But, I mean, I don't do too much more than 2 days worth of, you know, hard work, eight hours. I mean, and I'm saying 16 hours. That's maybe 3 hours a day on one day, 3 hours another day. You know, it's not all on one day, 2 days.
Wow, that's awesome. And that keeps you off the plantation and out of the rat race.
Yeah, now I'm learning that. I still, you know, there's times when it's not enough, and I'm like, I'm online looking for that next accounting job. But, you know, the God keeps showing me to stay focused on this. And, you know, that 1 week might be hard, and the next week, like this past week, I had so much, every single day, I had so much going on. I was blown away, like, wow, it's really picking up. The week before that, I was like, you know, I'm on Craigslist looking for a job. So, you know, it has its ups and downs. I try to stay focused, and my husband's like, look, you got to stay focused on this, keep pushing. And so far, you know, Allah has not allowed me to skip a meal or my lights cut off or anything of that nature. You know, I'm maintaining, but I have yet to reach that point where everything is smooth sailing yet. But I'm only maybe 15 months in the business right now, so.
That's critical. That's critical. I'd like to highlight certain points in right there. What stood out for me is that, number one, it's not an overnight type of thing. You know, people think that they can jump into this or take advantage of that opportunity or whatever it is. Nothing is overnight, especially if you're not putting the work and the time into it. Okay, that's the first illusion that I hope we can divorce people of. But also, one thing you said that I think is so critical is the support that you get from your husband. How important, talk about that for a minute, how important is it to have a partner, a spouse that is down for what you're down for, you know, really saying, okay, this is your thing, do it, and, you know, I got your back.
Man, you know, I'm sure I would have quit last year. If it wasn't for him, I'm sure I would have. You know, like I said, I've been looking. Every time certain things get a little low, I'm looking for that corporate job. And he's the one that's constantly trying to figure out how to get the business to the next level. He's a photographer in my mind, trying to figure out. Yeah, he did. I'm like, no, let's focus on your business. I'm figuring out how to make his big business greater. And he's like, no, you have a product here. People want it. People come to him all the time asking for it. We got to figure out how to get it consistent so you don't have to stress about this anymore. And, you know, he keeps pushing it. He pushes it more than I do. So, you know, if it wasn't for him, I'm sure I would have quit by now. I'm so sure I would have.
All right. It's good to have somebody like that on the team.
Yes, yes, definitely. And, you know, he's always in that positive spirit anyway. So anytime I feel low about, you know, for instance, I had a catering for a high school 2 weeks ago. And, I just slipped up on the budget, I guess. I didn't calculate the food cost as much as I should have. So I lost a lot on the food cost, and I was just upset about it. I mean, we took a major hit out of our income because I had to cover a cost that I didn't calculate in the food cost. And I'm thinking he's going to be mad because I was mad at myself. And he was just like, hey, lesson learned. Now we know how to do this better, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just looking at him like, are you sure you're not mad? And, you know, he just really built up my self-esteem because I'm like, I'm upset. I'm confused. Like, I don't know how I slipped up and did that so wrong. I was overwhelmed. I had a lot of business coming in that week. But I really messed up. And he was definitely that positive reinforcement. Like, it won't happen again. You're a lesson learned. You're good. Come on. So I needed that. I thank a lot for that.
That's valuable. Yeah, that's valuable on both ends. You know, number one, that you had an experience that you could make it through and learn from, but also somebody to keep the focus there. You know, like you said, you could have gotten mad, could have been upset, whatever, but to have someone in your corner that understands it happens like that sometimes and keeps putting fuel in the tank so you can keep going, that is awesome.
Right.
That is awesome.
Right, it is.
What are you doing now to keep educating yourself? Because I'm sure in business, you would admit to the fact that there's much more that needs to be learned. Business always has to be shoring up and, you know, tighten the screws and make it more efficient type of operation. So what are you doing to actually improve your own skills so that your business can actually grow? Because I'm sure it's not just about, well, you know, let me cook the soup better, or, you know, I'm sure something else goes into the meat.
Well, actually, you know, this year I said I'm going to become more supremely organized. That's something our minister here, Brother Sharif, Minister Sharif, is his model, and I'm going to have adopted it this year. So my accounting is tighter than it has been in the last 2 years. For one, my marketing direction is a little different. I'm actually my husband's putting together a team for me to do my marketing and promotions. We're trying to get into Whole Foods and Harry and Harry's and other organic markets to get my products in there, as well as I have a contract out that I'm waiting, or a bid out for a movie production that's coming up on June the 7th to do a contract for their production company. It's a four-week-long production.
Your movie's going to be showcased in a – your soup is going to be showcased in a movie?
Well, no, I'm actually going to do the catering for their production crew.
I thought they were going to have, you know, scenes with your soup in it. And
Who knows? But just getting that contract will be a major – I mean, that's a major boost for the business, especially if it's something that's ongoing. So, and a sister that I catered for not too long ago, she referred me for the contract. So, you know, like I said, word of mouth is working for me, and I'm looking to hire on, especially for this particular contract. So I'm interviewing other chefs that I went to school with or that I've worked with in the past to try to make sure I'm not doing this one-man show, because normally I would do it by myself. And you know, like, you got to make sure you got enough coverage because I'm not about to have you do this by yourself. This is a major production here. So, you know, I'm just, and I'm still learning, though. So it's a learning process for me. I'm not used to being, you know, when you're running your own business, you have to be the advertisement, the accounting, the packaging, the shipper, the making everything, and it's a lot. It's a whole lot. I lay in bed and I'm just creating things in my head all the time. While I'm trying to sleep, I'm creating new dishes. It's just, it's a lot. But, you know, it's my own baby, so it's something I can be proud of, and watching it unfold.
So right.
And, yeah. So,
all right. All right. Good stuff. Well, I tell you what. What I think is the most invaluable piece that you've spoken about is that part about teamwork. Just in hearing you talk about the last portion, where you know that in order to make it to, you know, whatever that next phase is, this next project, you know, you have to have other people on board. Getting us out of the idea that whatever I'm going to do, it's got to be, you know, it's all on me. I can't share any part of the idea with anybody. In order to grow the way that we want to grow, you got to open it up. You know, you have to, number one, make yourself approachable and be willing and brave enough to approach other people to ask for what you need. And if you're not the one to do that, you know, have somebody on your team or who's bought into your vision who will do that for you, because it's only so far that you'll be able to carry your vision yourself. And like Chris, the last caller called, said, no man, no woman is an island. You can't do this by yourself. Anything that's going to be effective and efficiently run has got to have those systems in place. And if those systems mean other people, then put them in place. Induct some people onto your team so that we can begin to see these businesses flourish, and then we don't just know about you in Atlanta or in Maryland, but we know about you everywhere in between California and New York. You know, that's my goal. I want everybody to know how good a dealer's soup is, and I want people to understand and know that no matter where they are, if they're looking for this particular thing, that's where they need to go. That's who they need to order from. So I've already talked to you about the Nation's Business Exchange. We're going to have more information about that coming up. But any aspect or any way that people who are in business for themselves, entrepreneurs in the nation, inside the Nation of Islam, want to begin to work together collaboratively, and we all establish ourselves and help each other get established, that's going to become a reality more and more as time goes on. And inshallah, before this year is out, we'll see some great strides made from all of these businesses that we all are trying to push and trying to establish something with. So I'm proud of you, sister. I'm very blessed and thankful that our paths crossed. I think when we started that cooperative economics group, I just happened to mention it to you. I saw an ad that you put out. I was like, wow, this is great. Do you know about this? These people over here? You came on in, and ever since then, I've just like the last brother, I've been watching you and watching what you do, and you really make me proud. Just if there's anything that I can do to help, to assist, just know you just need to call on your brother. I'll be right there for you.
Wow, that is awesome. I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Wow. I'm lost for words. I just greatly appreciate that. And I believe this is
God
it
is
right
the
here. The believer's here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The conversations take place on so many different levels. I'm happy to see that. You know, it's time that we get motivated to do it, but I hope and I pray that we do it in a much more intelligent way than it has been done in the past. You know, we're told to use the best of intelligence at all times. Let's start making that reality. Just like I'm saying, all of these other cliches, help do for self and make it happen. It sounds good. Sounds great. But let's,
we've been saying it for years.
Okay, it's time to put this supreme wisdom that we have into practice.
Right.
Okay, after learn mathematics, it stands true. So you must learn to use it just for some benefit for yourself.
Nothing and not only that, we got to learn to support each other. You know what I'm saying? Support our businesses. We all got a business. Everybody has a business. But we don't support it.
Hold, 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 Hold up. I'm going to turn up the volume so you can say that again. Say that part right there again.
We have to support our businesses. Start networking within ourselves. We have everything we need. If we only was just keep rotating our dollars in our community, we would be successful overnight. We really would be.
You know, you're absolutely right. Especially when we have to go out of our way to take money out of our community. I mean, I can see if I only eat soup, but the sister doesn't ship nationally, okay, well, I got to buy some soup from somebody else.
Right.
Sister ships now. You can do that, you know. I understand if, okay, well, you know, sure, the, you know, we got a bathroom here. They got to have bathroom tissue here. There's no way for me to buy the black bathroom tissue, so I'm going to go to Costco and CVS and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's right there, support your sister, okay?
Right.
Make it your business. Now, who in your mosque, in your community, in your church, your whatever it is, make it your business to find out who offers what. And then go to them what you need, as opposed to just skipping on out. And, you know, we do it in an absent-minded fashion. We just go, and because we've been spending money with whoever else we're spending money with, we got to get it into our mind and into our brain that cooperative economics, spending money with your brothers and sisters, recirculating the dollars in our community, those got to be mantras. They, you know, I'm going to be beating that drum for a long time to come, so I echo what you said, and I thank you for saying that, too. We've got a couple more minutes left. We've got about 2 more minutes. There's somebody else who wants to join in the conversation. I'm going to bring that line in. Caller from 314, your mic is open. Who's this?
This is Pianchi calling from the St. Louis area. I was listening to the conversation. Very interesting. But I wanted to I wanted to share some information with you. Supporting black businesses, if you got a chicken restaurant, you serve chicken dinners, for blacks to go in and sit down and order chicken dinners and pay you is not really supporting your black business. Supporting black businesses is when you have blacks raising and growing chickens, processing the chickens, when they are distributing and transporting the chickens. Every step along the way is supporting that black business. And we know we have to start looking into that sort of ideology, that vertical integration rather than a horizontal integration. Because if we have to go out and buy things wholesale, especially from Asians, they're never going to give you the family prices that you need. We got to start manufacturing, producing those things and sell. And this young lady here, you have a market. One market is the Nation of Islam. Other markets like school lunch programs. How about Weight Watchers and NutraSweet, those programs where the ladies and the sisters in the Nation of Islam who, you know, we all.
Oh, are you there? You might have hit the mute button because we can't hear you anymore. Sister Adele, are you there?
I'm still here, yes, sir.
All right, the brother, he must have hit the mute button or something like that. I'll give him a chance if he wants to come back in, and that'll be fine. But I think that he made a good point there. He's right. You know, ultimately, we do have to get to the point where from the beginning to the end of the operation, it's all us.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we really get the power. We, you know, you talk about manufacturing, you talk about distribution, you talk about wholesaling and retailing. Those are aspects we don't think about. We just, you know, get this and sell it. There's so many different components to what you're talking about. I mean, you make glass, you use glass canning jars.
Uh-huh.
Imagine if we had factories that made glass canning jars.
Right.
You know, every aspect of what we spend our money on for marketing, for shipping, for everything, you know, we need to try to get into. But you got to start somewhere. Okay, it's just like with freedom and bathroom tissue, freedom paper towels or whatever. People would initially say, oh, it's not soft enough, and we got to start somewhere. It's ours. Let's look beyond that. I could say, well, you don't look like a supermodel, so I can't call you my sister because, you know, you ain't fly enough. That, you know, we have to divorce ourselves from thinking like that. What's ours right. is ours. If you my sister, right. I love you because you my sister. We're going to ride or die and make this thing happen. If these right. products are ours, well, it's okay. You don't make the glass. You don't make the labels, whatever the case may be. It's yours. Mm-hmm. You tell me right. that this is what you make and you have to offer my community, then when I need that, I'm going to you. That's got to be
right.
almost as natural as saying, hey, you know, I make sure my head is covered and I make sure my shoes are shined. We got to
right.
have to be automatic like that. So hopefully we'll, anytime we get a chance to drop those kind of seeds or, you know, share that kind of wisdom and make the conversation about that, in the interest of trade and commerce, that's what I'm going
mm-hmm.
to do. I ever since 1995, when I was standing on the mall at the Million Man March, of all those points
mm-hmm.
in the pledges
mm-hmm.
that we took, the one that I remember, the one that stands out the most to me, is I pledged to build schools, hospitals, factories, and
mm-hmm.
Enter into international trade for the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. You know, something about trade and commerce, international trade, taking what we have and making sure that that is available and valued all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We are sitting right at the beginning point of something so critical and so valuable, Sister Adila. And another thing that, as the brother was saying, he talked about just, you know, supporting a different type of a kind of business or at a certain level, but it's important to think about socially responsible businesses also. The businesses
right.
that come up from in our community, they're the ones that support the charities and the causes that we say are important to
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
You know, when it's
right.
time for Savior's Day gift, I bet you a dealer's catering is putting some money into Savior's Day gift and number
mm-hmm.
24 and local charity and things of that nature.
Right.
Same thing with Freedom
exactly.
Gift Company. I can guarantee you that money is going into the charities and the drives and the events
exactly.
that we wanted to fund because of the support that came from the community that we're going to. So think
right.
about that when you purchase what you purchase on the daily, on the regular.
Right.
The people and the brands that you may know about, they're not necessarily giving to what you say is important to you. So
right.
factor all these things into who you're going to support and why you're going to support them. There's a graphic that's going around on there's a graphic going around on Facebook that I liked and shared as far out as I could. It says support black businesses. It had a picture of a fist and, you know, red, black and green, the black power fist and whatnot. I said, this is not black
mm-hmm.
power. And then in the next frame it had a black hand that was holding money. It said, this is black power. Okay, economics. And then it went to the next frame and said, this is why black people have no power. And it was a hand, a black hand, putting all that money into the different white hands that were being held out. We keep giving
wow.
our economic power away. So when it's time for us to do what we need to do for our schools, when it's time for us to do what needs to be done for our mosques or fund programs or whatever, we don't have it to do. Because
mm-hmm.
we're not thinking entrepreneurially, first of all, and then for the entrepreneurs that are around us, we don't give them the support that they need. So if I could implore and, you know, make a petition to you all who are listening for anything, it would be to go on ahead and support black businesses. Make yourself
yeah.
known if you have a business and support the business owners that come from within your nation. So, Sister Adila, I want to thank you. You hung in there with me. You hung in there with me for a long time. I guess you got over that nervousness because you were flowing for a little bit there. How you feel?
I'm still nervous.
Look at that. You're at the end now. Ain't nothing to be nervous about. I don't know what that's
yeah,
about. That's
I'm
an end grain. You go get that checked out. But I
I'm
thank
really,
you so
I'm
much.
I'm really tough on the phone. I can do it.
Okay, well, you did a good job. One last time before we really check out of here, give everybody the information on where to find you and where to find your goods and services.
Okay, so you can visit my website, adilascatering.com, and it has all my product line and my catering services is all right there. Also on Facebook, there's Adila's Catering page. And our email address is adilascatering@gmail.com if you just want to send an email or a request for products.
All right. That's what time it is. So I thank you all for joining us for the No Romance Without Finance show. This is another fine episode I've gotten you into. I hope that you can spread the word about this because there were some valuable jewels and nuggets that were dropped. And more people need to hear about this. This is the conversation that needs to take place on an increasing basis. So that's it for this episode of the No Romance Without Finance show. Again, I'm your host, Vernon Muhammad. And lastly, I want to make sure that everybody who does hear this, go and visit the primary sponsor for the No Romance Without Finance show. It's Freedom Paper Company. If you didn't already know, brothers and sisters from the Nation of Islam have gotten together, and we are manufacturing and distributing our own brand of bathroom tissue, paper towels, facial tissue, trash bags, and paper products. FreedomPaperCompany.com, and buy black. And if your mosque isn't using Freedom Paper Company products, ask why. Thank you all. Here is the Marleys that are getting ready to take us out. I think this is Stephen Marley, who is on here. He's talking about working ways, and we are working people. And that's what we got to do, and that's what we got to be. So peace and blessings.
Just move into the bench, but now I grab the old love. You want out over yonder, rolling on Rwanda. Open red match, I will tip the gun as Fanta. If the fool and the money soon pop up, they call it a fearing, sharing, so me have a kind of. Look out for some evil child crap, the wicked bad, who only exploit and get him gone laugh. And all some really want is a little restaurant, just a little nice setting, nothing too extravagant. We have to keep it turning, never make it stop, now. Never listen to the one them who have said that I can't. That's not.